All right, so do we have any Star Wars fans in the house? Yeah, we got a couple. Oh, all right, I'm seeing some hands. Yes, yeah, some Star Wars. There are some Star Wars fans in the house. Somebody even just raised their hand again. They're like, yes, we need to make it clear. The Mandalorian second season just came out, right? Anybody catching up on that already? Some people are shocked, like, all right, I didn't know that was true, and now they're going to hit it up. So I think that Star Wars is very appealing because there is a tension within Star Wars that I think we all can relate to. And we see it throughout all of the movies, all of the plots. There's this tension that is driving the plots forward, and it is this battle between good and evil. There is a recognition that there is evil and there is good, and there is a decision that has to be made. Will you choose the dark side or the light side? And I think we all have that struggle too. We all can relate to that struggle. Now, it might not be on that grand scale. You know, if I choose to walk in darkness, I might not end the empire. No, the empire with the evil people. Never mind. I might not make the empire better and destroy the rebellion. And if I decide to walk in the light, I'm probably not going to make this universe like super awesome. I will make it better though. But the point is, we all have this struggle, and we see it throughout all 9 episodes, right? So 1 through 3, you've got Anakin. And what's Anakin faced with? Will you walk in the dark side, or will you choose the light? And if you know anything about Star Wars, this is going to be a spoiler alert. All right, just in case you're wondering, it's been out for a long time now, so I don't think I'm really ruining anything for you. Anakin decides to choose the dark side. Now, if you watched episodes 4 through 6, you already knew that, right? Because Anakin becomes Darth Vader, and then 4 through 6 is all about Luke. And what is Luke going to do? Will he choose the dark side or the light side? Is he going to choose the right path? And one thing that is amazing, and I think everybody loves about Return of the Jedi, is what happens at the very end. Luke has decided that he's not going to be like his father. He's going to choose the righteous path. And he goes and he attacks the Empire. And what happens at the very end? Redemption. Darth Vader, who chose the dark side so many years ago, at the very end, chooses to walk in the light. And we love that because so many of us can relate. We have chosen the wrong path in our lives, and we see that it's never too late to decide to walk on the right path. And then we've got Episodes 7 through 9, and I'm not going to ask your opinion about those, but we see the same plot playing out, right? And it is still relatable. The idea that Kylo Ren can choose the righteous path, that Rey is still wrestling with this idea. Do I walk in the dark side or do I choose the light? It is an idea that we all wrestle with. And one of the reasons why I think Star Wars is such a popular movie, because we can all relate with that wrestling inside of us. And that is what Proverbs 4, 10 through 19 is going to address for us today. The idea of the righteous path and the evil, wicked path. Now, we've already talked about it, but I'll say it again. Proverbs 4 is broken up into 3 different discourses. And they each start with, "Hear, O son," or "Hear, my son." So we'll read through and then we'll jump back in and dig a little bit deeper. "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble." For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. All right, so we see this idea of the path clearly laid out. And we all wrestle with this idea of the path. So let's dig in a little bit deeper. Hear my son, and we see the sign of division of the discourse. The author has started a new discourse, a new teaching here. And accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Now, we've talked quite a bit about how wisdom can impact your life, and oftentimes we talk about how it's the quality of life, not necessarily quantity, but here it's very distinctly quantity. Following wisdom adds quantity. Now, we need the disclaimer that a proverb is typically a principle, not a promise. So a principle means that it most likely will add. If you follow the principles, you most likely will get this. But it's not always a promise. Sometimes, no matter how wise you are, your life will be cut short. That's just a matter of life. That's due to sin entering the world. But if you follow the path of wisdom, most likely your years will be added. They will add number to your years. For example, I have turned 40, and Jen gets to hear me lament about this. I've never, never cared about my age. And I still don't really care about my age, but I'm starting to feel the effects of it. And Jen has heard me talk about, I'm feeling it. And I've actually started to change my diet. I've never had to change my diet. I've never had to think about what I ate. But I've actually started cutting back on butter. It is a sad thing for me because I love butter. But I've been reducing the amount of butter. And part of it is because I've realized the wisdom of, like, I am getting older. My body has certain things that happen. And, like, if I want to live to see grandchildren and enjoy my grandchildren, maybe I should reduce the amount of butter I eat. That's wisdom. Now, will that guarantee that I live to see my grandchildren? No, I could die today. I just took a picture of this cinnamon. And you're like, cinnamon, what on earth does that have to do with it? Cinnamon that was purchased in 2000 and what, when was 2005? 2006? It was purchased at Sam's Club, and my first wife and I, when we first got our membership to Sam's Club, when neither one of us had been there, and it was this amazing new place, and I can remember her over and over again saying, this will be the last time I have to buy this. Big bag of noodles. This will be the last bag of noodles I'll ever have to buy. Big thing of cinnamon. And we just finished it this week. And she didn't know how right her statement was. This will be the last bag of noodles. This will be the last thing of cinnamon I ever have to buy. A few months later, she died. And I say that because you don't know when you're going to die. There's no guarantee. But if you follow wisdom, chances are you will live longer. All right? So, that the years of your life may be many. Following wisdom helps add years to your life. It's no guarantee. And we should live like every bag of noodles is our last bag of noodles. I have taught you the way of wisdom, and as a reminder, wisdom is simply skillful living. And we need to recognize that wisdom needs to be learned. It doesn't come by naturally. Some people have a greater aptitude for it than others, but it doesn't come by naturally. It has to be learned. You have to learn how to live skillfully. It doesn't just come with experience. There are a lot of people who have a lot of experience in life and have never learned from that experience. I've known people in their 70s that have been divorced over 7 times. Ended up dying alone. And you would think that's a lot of experience, wouldn't they have learned? Just because you have experience doesn't mean that you learn from the experience. You have to be intentional about learning wisdom. So I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. So uprightness is a moral standard. And the word paths here, we need to define it because later on we're going to run into another path. But the word path here means wagon ruts. And what would happen, well, we see ruts still. If you drive into the mountains, you see ruts, right, where people drive and they develop these ruts. And typically they're fair. If you want to ride or drive on something, you find those ruts in the mountains. And these wagon ruts, they had wagons in those days too, and these wagons would follow on this international highway. The international highway connected Mesopotamia with Egypt, and those were the two trading powerhouses of the day. And so they would trade between the two. That international highway would run straight through Israel, and that where that would run would be wagon ruts, where these wagons went back and forth and back and forth, and it smoothed out the path. This is important to remember, that it smoothed out the path, these wagon ruts. That's where you wanted to travel. You didn't want to get off those ruts because your path would be bumpy. You'd be bumping all around. Ben Pullman and I went for a mountain bike ride this last week, and the first part of it was this, it used to be an old road, and it was smooth. There were ruts you could ride in, and it was nice. You could pick up a lot of speed, you could go real fast, you could pedal. I have a rigid bike, meaning no suspension. So then we got past there and we got into some single track that had what's called rock gardens. Mountain bikers hate rock gardens because it's just rocks scattered everywhere. And all of a sudden, we go from this smooth track that you can fly through to this rock garden, and now I'm bouncing all over because I don't have any suspension. And it's amazing, you know, with smooth track, you go forward. All of your momentum goes forward. On a rock garden, you start hitting these rocks, and where does your momentum go? Upwards. You hit, and especially my bike, it bounces off, and I'm bouncing up and down and up and down, and pretty soon my hands start to kind of go numb and itch because they're vibrating so much, and it's wasting my time. And then you start concentrating not on the path or how much fun you're having, but just avoiding rocks. But those wagon ruts smooth things out. Walking in the way of righteousness helps. It's like walking in that smooth path. So I have led you in the paths of uprightness. This moral standard helps you to stay in those wagon ruts where it's smooth and not bumpy. And then the result. We get into the result here. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. You know what you're going on. You know the path. You can see it clearly. But more importantly, that path has been smoothed out for you. You're not a mountain biker hitting that rock garden and bouncing everywhere. You don't have to worry about this big rock that you're going to hit in. Another reason why mountain bikers hate rock gardens is because you end up getting flats from rock gardens. When your rim hits a rock really hard, you get what's called a pinch flat, or you get a blowout. You lost all the air in your tire, and now you're walking home. In these wagon ruts, you don't have to worry about that. You can just enjoy the ride. So when you stay on this moral when you stay on the path of uprightness, this moral standard, your walk won't be hampered. You don't have to worry about those rock gardens. And if you run, even in your speed, you won't be hampered because it's a smooth path. And for this reason, he gives us, keep hold of instruction, do not let go. You have to learn wisdom, hold tight to what you've learned. Guard her, for she is your life. And here the term life really refers to quality, not so much quantity. So when you hit that smooth wagon rut, the quality of your life is going to be better. And then we get into a series of commands. These next 14 and 15 is a series of commands. It's going to be 6 commands that really show how emphatic he is about this. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. There's two commands. Avoid it, there's three. Do not go on it, there's four. Turn from it, there's five. And pass on, there's six commands telling you to avoid the evil path. So you've got two paths, very distinct here. There's the path of the wagon rut and the path of the wicked. The term path here doesn't mean wagon rut. It actually just means the direction of. So don't go in the direction of the wicked. Don't even look at it. Pass on by it. Don't walk in that way. Avoid it at all costs. And you can see like the Star Wars of, I just think of Darth Vader saying, turn towards the dark side. Don't even go there, Luke. Run. Don't look that way. He's being emphatic here. He's like shaking him like, no, you don't understand the pain you're going to run into. Don't go towards the dark side. Do not enter the path. Don't go that direction. Don't enter the path of the wicked. The wicked here is characterized by violating moral standards. That's what the wicked mean here. It's someone who is characterized by violating moral standards. And so God's got a moral standard, and this person is going to continually violate that standard. And pretty soon it becomes a habit, and when it becomes a habit, everyone around knows that this person is a moral standard violator. They're a liar, they're a cheater. They only care about themselves. So don't enter that path. Don't go that direction. And do not walk in the way of evil. Now, evil here means morally wrong. And you can do something that's morally wrong, but you haven't become quite wicked yet. You know it's wrong, but you haven't become characterized by violating that moral standard yet. But what's interesting is the more you walk in the way of evil, the more wicked you become. And you can become callous to being morally wrong. The first time you do something that's evil, you might get an adrenaline rush. You might feel some guilt. But the more you walk down that path, the more numb you become to that behavior. And the more acceptable it becomes in your life. He's saying, don't walk down that path. Now notice that these are both paths. It's not a door. Meaning you can become, as you're walking on that path, you can become more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. In fact, when you walk down that path, you will become more wicked. There is no neutral path here. It is either the path of the righteous or the path of the wicked. You are either walking towards being wicked or you are walking on the path of righteousness. It's no neutral ground. You are always walking in one direction or the other. And then he continues. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn from it and pass on. And we get this idea here that we're not even supposed to play around with the wicked path. You're not even supposed to look at the wicked path. You're supposed to go in the opposite direction of the wicked path. And then he gives us the reason why. This is what happens when you walk on the wicked path. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. For they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And so we see this picture here of someone who is wicked that will lose sleep over not being able to do something wicked. Now, the first time you do a wicked act, the first time you do something that's evil, usually you lose sleep because of that evil act, right? So we've all done it. We've all been there. We've done something that we shouldn't have done. We've done something that we've been ashamed of. And what do we do at night? We lay there with guilt and we feel bad. But the more you do it, it actually flips on you. And then you start losing sleep because you're not walking in the wicked path. Because you're not doing that evil thing that at first gave you guilt, now you're losing sleep over it. And he uses these two phrases, for they eat the bread of the wickedness or of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Both of those phrases right there show you that they're so used to being wicked, they're so used to violence, that it's a daily habit. It's a daily thing. Just as you and I need to eat bread and drink for sustenance, just as you and I do these things on a daily basis, they commit violence on a daily basis. They commit wickedness. It is a habit. They need it just as you and I need food and drink. That's the point of verse 17. Evil is so ingrained in their brains that it's a daily habit. And it's important for us to note here that there are evil people in this world. We can't read 16 and 17 without stopping to take note of that fact. There are evil people. There are wicked people in this world. And if you don't recognize that fact, you will come into some huge problems. As a culture, if we don't recognize that fact, we will wind up with huge issues. There are evil people in this world that choose evil. Now, I want us to be careful as we say that, because it is easy for churches, it's easy for everybody, really, but even in a church, it's easy to start making this distinction of, like, there are evil people in this world, there are people that choose evil, well, we're not them, and then it becomes an us versus them mentality. And we don't want that. But we do need to recognize that there are people that choose evil. Now, there are people that are stuck in evil, and they might be stuck in an evil path, and they don't know how to get out. And there are people with some evil behaviors that don't know how to get out of that. So, for an example, I grew up in a fairly large home. I have two older brothers, and as a result, food was scarce. My mom made huge dinners. But if you wanted seconds, you had to scarf down those firsts. I mean, you barely even tasted it. It was going down the hatch real quick. And even if you did that, sometimes you didn't get seconds. And so I developed a habit of eating very quickly. And Jen calls it super snack mode. She sees it come out. Every now and then, I'll come home and my hands are flying. And I'm getting food down really quickly. It's happening. And as we talked about it more, there started to be some heart issues started to come through with that. And it started to be revealed in that. And I started to realize that part of my eating habits are a result of me not trusting that God will sustain. I learned a bad habit as a child. I better eat quick. I gotta eat quick. I gotta get my food. I gotta get mine. But as I became an adult, it developed into a habit. And at the root of that habit was not trusting that God is enough for me. So I better hurry up and get as much food in my belly as I possibly can. Now, as that came to light, I still turn back towards that sometimes. And all Jen has to say is, Aaron, you're in super snack mode right now. It's like, oh, yeah. I say that to make a distinction here, because some people are walking on a wicked path and don't even realize it. Some people are walking on a wicked path and realize it but don't know how to get out of it. And we need to make those distinctions. But some people are walking on a wicked path, and they want that path. They have chosen that path. And there is no amount of services, there is no amount of help that can get them out of that path. They have to come to a point where they, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, will choose to get out of that path. And it is important for us to recognize that. Otherwise, we will bang our heads and we will try as hard as we can to get someone to get out of that path, and all they want is that path. And it makes me think about foster care, because we have interacted with different foster care parents, and some foster care parents, you know, they get their kids taken away from them. I shouldn't say foster care parents, but parents that have been brought into the system, they've gotten their kids taken away from them because they, typically DCS tries not to take kids away. They are going to do everything they can not to take a child away. But what happens is sometimes you've got parents who will reject every service that DCS offers them. DCS tries everything they can, and this parent will always choose this drug over their kid. And it's very sad to watch. And as the kid gets taken away, I'll tell you, I think these parents really love their kids. Or I should at least say these parents have a very strong emotion towards their kids. They're just always going to choose their drug over their kid. And some of them choose drugs for different reasons. Some of them, most of them are choosing drugs because there's this incredible pain in their past that they don't know how to deal with, but they're always going to choose the drug over dealing with that painful past. We have to recognize that. You in your life, as you're walking through life, have to recognize that there are some people that are going to choose evil no matter what you do. And if you don't recognize that, you will enter into a huge amount of pain trying to draw them out. But they're choosing evil. And we have to recognize that there are some people, for whatever reason why they ended up on the wicked path, remain on the wicked path because that's what they have chosen. So that's what we see here, that there are wicked people. And they have become so wicked that it is like eating bread and drinking wine. They're going to do it every day. And next he gets into a contrast. But the path of the righteous, so we see the path of the wicked, but the path of the righteous is like the dawn, light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And so we see this clear picture here that the path of the darkness is so dark that you can't even see that rock garden. There are rock gardens scattered throughout it, but it's so dark you can't even see the rock garden. You're gonna have a blowout, you're gonna have a pinch flat, you're gonna be bouncing all over the place as you ride on this wicked path, and you can't even see the dangers that are coming up on you. And the more you walk on that wicked path, the darker it's going to get. The more blind you will become. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter till full day. I love that picture. If you wanted to memorize a verse from this week, I'd say it's 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. And have you ever been out at dawn? It's kind of dark at first. But the more it goes on, the brighter it gets. And this is the path of the righteous. When you first decide to get off the path of the wicked and get on the path of the righteous, sometimes it's still a little dark. There are still some roots and some rocks that you don't see. But the more you walk on that path, the lighter it gets. And the more you get on that path, the smoother it gets. The more that you say, God, I am weak, I can't do this on my own, I need you, the lighter your life gets. And I can remember when I first decided to follow Christ, I was kind of a jacked up guy. And I won't talk about everything, but I'll talk about entertainment. Because I had no values when it came to entertainment other than I want to be entertained. Meaning I would be entertained, I would let any type of entertainment enter my home, I would watch any type of movie, I would listen to any type of music without care on how it was going to impact me. Now, I was on the path of wickedness. I decided to take the path of righteousness. It's still dark. But as I'm walking down this path, God started to convict me, and God's going to convict us all in different ways. So God started convicting me about certain movie choices I was making and certain music choices I was making. And as I walked, it became easier and easier to let certain movie and music choices go. And I just didn't care as much about being entertained by violence and crude humor. And I started caring about what type of music I let impact me. It didn't happen right away. And God is still refining me as I walk on the path of righteousness. Because it is a path, it's not a destination. Meaning, as long as you live, you will be on that path. As long as you live, God will continue to refine you. And what's really amazing about this is as long as you continue to walk on it, it will get brighter and brighter and smoother and smoother. But I want to jump back to 14 and 15 with these emphatic commands. Do not. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. He's being so emphatic here, and it's so important that we understand, because what we typically do with a moral standard is we ask what the moral standard is so that we can run up to it without violating it. Why do you care about the speed limit? I want to know what the speed limit is so I can know how fast I can go without getting a ticket. That's why, I'll be very honest with you. That's why I care about the speed limit. If it's 35, I'm going 35. If it's 45, I'm going 45. If it's 75, I'm going 75. In Wyoming, the interstates are 80, and I am going 80. I want to know what the speed limit is so I can go all the way up to the limit without getting a ticket. We treat a lot of moral standards like the speed limit. We want to know what the moral standard is so we can go all the way up to the limit. And so what we do, I've got this line here that's going across the sanctuary. And what we do is we run up, we say, okay, where's the moral standard? And it might be in our dating life. It might be in our entertainment. It might be in laws. It might be in language. But what we do is we ask, where is the line? And we're asking the line simply so we can run up to the line. And so we run up to the line, and we start to play along the line because we're like, I'm not crossing the line. And I see some wicked people way over on that side of the line, and they're evil and they're disgusting. But I'm on this side of the line, so I'm good, right? And so we play with the line, we play around the line, and hey, I'm on this side of the line, I'm still righteous. And what happens is we start getting used to playing up at the line. And so then what do? We wave our hand over the line a little bit. You know, I could put my foot, I won't put my foot on the ground on the other side, okay? I'm still on this side of the line if I just dangle my foot over it. See, still on this side of the line. I'm still on the righteous side. And then we get used to it, even dangling our foot, until one day we just touch the line. And we just touch the line, and I might feel guilty about touching the line. But I'm only touching the line. That's it. And so I touch the line until I feel better about touching the line, and I can sleep at night just touching the line. And then what do? Well, it's really simple. I move the line. Now I can step all the way over here where I'm used to it. And I haven't crossed the line yet. I still am not that disgusting, horrible person over there. I'm still on this side of the line. And I might feel guilty, but I can deal with that guilt for a little while until I start the whole cycle over again. You know how that disgusting person got? They kept playing with the line. That person who's trapped in disgusting sin, who can't get out of that disgusting sin, It all started because they asked the wrong question. Instead of asking, where is God? They asked, where is the line? And they focused in on the line. And they focused in on, how can I get away with the most? And it all could have been resolved if they asked the other question, where is God? And how can I run towards Him? What question are you asking today? Are you asking, where is the line, so that you can go play with the line, so that you can dangle your foot over the line, so you might even be able to touch the line? Or are you asking, where is God, so I can turn away from the line and not even care, because I'm so focused on Him? Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And we are saddened that there are people that are evil, that have chosen evil. But we need to recognize that there are evil people in this world. And but by Your grace, we would be there with them. And Lord, we know that we fell moral standards at different points. And we pray that we would feel Your grace, that we would experience Your grace in all of our failures. And help us, Lord, to not ask the question of where is the line, but ask the question, where are You? Help us to be so focused in on who You are and what You've done in our lives that we don't even have to worry about the line. That we won't even look or walk in the direction of the wicked, because we're so focused in on walking towards You. In Your holy name we pray.